Hello, podcast listeners. We know podcasts are a great way to catch up on a program that you may have missed on KSJE, and it's provided as a free service of this radio station. But you know, KSJE is now listener-supported, and so while you enjoy this podcast, we hope that you'll also take some time to join KSJE. Become a member today. It's quite easy to do. Just go to our website at ksje.com/support and pick the level of support that best matches your budget. Thanks again for listening. Here's your podcast. San Juan Regional Medical Center is your community hospital, committed to making life better for the communities we are privileged to serve. In fact, better is our mission, improving lives through personalized health and care. What matters most to our patients matters most to us. Offering a comprehensive range of inpatient, outpatient, and emergency care services so you can get the quality care you need right here at home. San Juan Regional Medical Center, celebrating life better here since 1910. It's 8:11. It is Monday morning, the 8th day of the 8th month, 2022. Good morning, everyone. I'm Scott Micklin. Thanks for tuning in to KSJE 90.9 FM over the air here in San Juan County, 103.3 FM if you're in the Durango, Colorado area, and if you're anywhere else on the planet, you can always listen from our website, streaming at ksje.com, or ask your smart speaker to play KSJE. We're glad that you're with us. Also glad our viewers are with us this morning, because this is a community-supported visual radio station. The video of this program is streaming out live this morning to the KSJE Facebook page, our YouTube channel, and our Twitter account. So we're glad that you are with us as well, everyone, because coming up today, we are going to learn a bit about the new student housing building here at San Juan College, which is getting ready to open for students. The very first time San Juan College has offered housing for its students. The building has an open house coming up later on this week. We'll let you know more about that. 150 beds for students soon to be open here on the San Juan College campus. What that means to the campus, what that means to the community, that's part of the discussion coming up in the next few moments here on KSJE this morning. Then, of course, at 8:50 a.m., I'll speak with Lewis Campbell, my guest for our Monday Reboot segment, talking about technology that's been in the news over the past week or so. So we hope you'll join us for that as well. Next hour, Mick Hess is back, and he is taking us roving with the arts, of course. This morning, Mick is featuring music from Gustav Holst. Today, you will hear the piece, The Mystic Trumpeter, from 1904. That's coming up today on Roving with the Arts on KSJE. Don't forget, you can also connect with us on our Instagram page in addition to Facebook and YouTube and Twitter. And if you're a podcast person, you can subscribe for free to KSJE Podcasts wherever you listen to podcasts, and maybe discover a new program that you may have missed in the last few weeks or so. Outside our studios here at San Juan College, it is a mostly sunny morning at the moment. Those clouds are kind of clearing out at the moment. Currently 67 degrees with a humidity at 69% today. We are expecting a partly sunny day today with still a good chance of a shower or thunderstorm developing, about a 50% chance. Today's high 90 degrees in Farmington, 66 tonight. Tomorrow, 91, another 50% chance of showers on Tuesday, 50% chance of showers on Wednesday, 40% Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, with highs each day, as you can see, in the mid to lower 90s and overnight lows in the upper 60s. Joining me this morning to talk a bit about the new student housing here at San Juan College, a very exciting time. The San Juan College Dean of Students, Debbie Chalmers, is here in the studio with me. Good morning. Welcome to KSJE.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
You bet. Congratulations. This is a big, momentous occasion for the college and the community. I was talking to our marketing department, and they told me they've been talking about student housing since 1978.
Yes, long before I ever got here.
Right, yes, exactly. Yes. Me too. So a long time, and a lot of planning, a lot of thought have gone into this, and it's finally here.
It is here. We're very excited. I think it's going to be a great opportunity for our students. It's going to be a great opportunity for our community. And yes, students are excited. We're excited. It's going to be fabulous.
Very good. And there's an opportunity for folks to join us. The ribbon cutting is this Friday.
It is,
At about 3:30 to 5, right?
That's correct. And you'll be able to go in the building, see some of the rooms, see the artist renditions. We have some great murals that have been painted by some local artists in the building. So it's going to be great. And you'll see all the work that has gone to it from our construction workers and our planning, and really have an opportunity to see what the students are going to, where they're going to live and where they're going to enjoy.
Right, right. Very cool. And again, this has been talked about for forever here at Santa Monica College, so a really cool thing to be able to see it finally come to fruition. I know a lot of folks have been waiting for this moment, so very cool. And you still have some rooms available, right? Some space for students who may be interested or thinking about maybe living on campus?
Absolutely. We do still have some double occupancy spaces that are available. So if you're wanting to live on campus, please go to the housing webpage at sanjuancollege.edu/housing, and they can be able to apply there. It'll take them to their portal area. You do have to be admitted to the institution to be able to apply. And so if you're going to be a full-time student, full enrolled at San Juan College, then definitely check it out. It's going to be a great opportunity. And don't worry about funding. There's lots of opportunity for funding if that's a concern for you.
Okay, good to know, and probably for a lot of families to understand, too, that that's available, right? But the first step would be to apply.
That's correct.
And so that, and you can do that once you're registered for classes.
You just have to be admitted to the institution.
Admitted.
You don't even have to be enrolled yet. You just have to be admitted.
Okay.
And then you can apply for housing. And then once you classes start, you do have to be enrolled full time.
Got it. That's how that works. Mm-hmm. Got it. And remind us the scope of this building. How many rooms does it have? How much capacity do you have for students?
Sure. So in housing, we determine occupancy by bed space. So I can't tell you the number of rooms particularly,
sure,
but we have 150 beds.
Okay.
So we have three different types. We have some rooms that are single rooms. Those are all been taken, so they're not an option anymore for anybody. And then we have some that are what we consider double occupancy, so two people in one room and they share a bathroom with two other people.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have a few rooms that are just two people with their own bathroom, but those are all occupied as well.
I gotcha. And for the ones that are kind of sold out, if you will, or occupied, mm-hmm, do you have like a waiting list for folks maybe who would be interested in that, or how is that, how does that work?
We don't really do a waiting list until we fill the building.
Okay.
So once we filled the building, then we'd have a waiting list. Once we start the process and August 20th gets here, we'll see who shows up, and then we maybe we'll do some room changes at that point for the people that are living on campus.
Right.
So we'll have some opportunities then, but right now we just encourage you to apply and let us get you a bed space so that you can just walk to campus and walk to classes the next morning.
Oh my gosh, the parking is not a problem if you live on campus.
Mm-mm.
Look at that.
Parking's not a problem. Access to the HHPC is not a problem.
Right.
You can just roll out of bed, roll down the hill, and go to classes. And
I then think stop I've seen students have done
breakfast.
That.
Yes, but everywhere I've been.
Right.
It's you can tell who lives on campus because they just roll out in their PJs, and then at about noon they'll go back and change into you know, jeans or whatever.
Hey, it works. But that works. But a great new new time here at San Juan College, which is really cool. And the building is really, I think, unique, too, because maybe some folks may think, well, I remember going to college and I stayed on campus and boy, it was really difficult, or wasn't a very homey situation. Or I mean, I've toured the building and it's really impressive. And I hope a lot of folks will come to the event this week and see it in person to see what we're talking about. But there's really been a lot of, I think, thought into the design of the space.
Absolutely. We're not doing 1980s residence halls anymore. We're in the 21st century.
I couldn't find a cinder block to save my life up there.
No, there are no cinder blocks, and I've lived in many of those in my time. But yeah, it's great. There's a community kitchen that's large for the students to be able to utilize. Many students will want to make cookies or make their own meals at 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock at night, whatever. Laundry facilities are available for all the residents, and it's free, so there's not... We don't have to worry about the coins anymore and going to the bank and get $10 rolls of quarters. There's nice gathering spaces for students and TVs to watch, and good places for them to sit down and study or just get to know one another and engage and build some relationships that way.
There's a main kind of a gathering area. I don't know what you probably have as official name for it.
The great room.
Thank you. Of course.
Mm-hmm.
With the fireplace and the flat screen and the TVs and the couches and the tables and all those different areas, right, where they can go and gather. But then I also noticed, I think on every floor, there's kind of like a study space, like a study lounge almost, isn't there?
Yeah. So there's two areas on each floor. One is larger and kind of when you ride off the elevator, you can, nice space to study, nice place to gather, talk, play games, whatever they want to do. And then there's there's a secondary space that's a little bit smaller, has a TV in it, so a few friends can gather around that and take place. Then we have another kind of like a little quaint space on each of the floors, so if you just want to get away from your roommate and talk on the phone to somebody else, there's one around the corner. So we've done a lot of thought into what students' needs are and how they can kind of find their space and get all their needs met. There's also a great patio area.
Stay outside,
with the
grill. Yeah, yes. Right.
Lots of grass so students can grab their blankets, go outside, study, play their Nintendo Switch, whatever they want to do outside.
Right.
And just enjoy the view and enjoy, you know, New Mexico.
No kidding, where you can be outside most of the year.
Most of the time,
Very true. And, of course, that's in addition to all the other spaces on campus that are here just anyway, the library and the study lounges, and every building has space for students to kind of hang out in.
Absolutely. And we encourage, you know, when I give students tours of the campus, I encourage them to find their unique space where they feel comfortable, and it could be very different for everybody. And we hope that with the housing facility, there's a space there that students can really identify and find it as their own, because, you know, you have to live there to be there.
So. Right. Right. Now, this job that you have, you've done for a while at other institutions as well, to bring housing and work with housing and things like that. And
yeah.
I would say it really changes maybe the makeup of the campus, right, when you have people living and playing and staying there 24/7. So what do you think San Juan College is in for, I guess, when we change from kind of a commuter campus to maybe
yeah.
have an on-site population all the time?
Yeah, so I have done this for 20 years, and I've talked with people for the last 2 years trying to give them an idea of what's going to come, but it really is one of those things, until you experience it, you're not really going to know, but it is going to be, you know, we're not shutting down at 5 o'clock in the evening anymore. There'll be people around 24/7. There's going to be stuff that happens at 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock at night. You know, that's prime time whenever people want to play capture the flag. You know, when you're outside
right.
doing stuff, students are going to want to be entertained. They're going to be here. They're going to want things to do, people to meet. They'll probably utilize the HHPC a lot more and a lot later in the evening.
You so know, those hours may change?
Yeah, I think John has changed
them
a little bit.
Uh-huh.
And we'll see kind of what our students want, what they need, and where they're wanting to do things.
Sure.
You know, as the inaugural year, you kind of just have to be flexible. And I think it's great that we have good partners across campus that are prepared to be flexible. You know, Mary's Kitchen isn't going to close after lunch anymore. It's going to be open through dinner, and
right.
and students have to eat. And you know, our activities office, student engagement, and campus life is going to do a great job in building some more activities for those students. So I think it's really going to change the life.
Right.
It's going to change our campus in a very positive way.
Sure. And I think we've kind of seen that a little bit, at least I think I have, watching as we get ready for this ribbon cutting and the opening, more campus activities, more things planned for students from, you know, both in town and commuters and everything like that, and just probably more of that to come when we have that on-campus population.
Yeah, absolutely. Once we know when the students are going to show up on August 20th and they're not leaving until May 15th, 17th, whenever graduation is. So, you know, even during the times whenever we think campus is closed,
right.
for housing students, it's going to be open. And so they're going to be around doing stuff. And I think it's going to be exciting. And it'll give people a little bit of a different perspective about maybe where, reminiscent of where they went to school and their experiences. So
right.
it's great.
True, very true. The rooms I wanted to talk about a little bit too, because I have a photo of one of the rooms in the residential housing, and this would be like the shared room, right, for the two beds.
Yes, this is a rendition of the double occupancy. It's not exactly what we purchased with the furniture, but yeah, it's great space. Each one of the double occupancy rooms has the sink in there for the two occupants. There's a bed, a desk, a chair, and a wardrobe. That has drawers and shelves and stuff. And then there's a nightstand. So that's what your room will come with. And the beds are great because students can change the height of them.
Oh.
So I have a lot of students that they're okay with climbing up into a loft, and then they can store, you know, chairs or whatever, build a little kind of intimate place beneath their loft. So
right.
that'll be great. Or if you don't want to do that, then there's space for you to keep it where it's at. And it's really easy to maneuver those around. So
okay. That's cool.
That'd be great.
And again, not your traditional, maybe furniture for residential housing that, that people are used to. Because I remember there were samples, and the, each of them are really different, really unique when we got to see kind of what you were thinking of putting in there. And so I think there was a vote, and so some really different types of furniture that's multifunctional, it seemed to me.
Yeah, so the thing, and that's what I've, the thing about residence hall furniture and what I've helped people understand is it's not furniture that you'd put in your regular house. You know, you want furniture that can be adaptable for the students, that they're going to like, that they can make it their own. So you try and give them what we call the baseline so that they can then say, well, now I can decorate the room how I make it, want to make it feel so that I feel comfortable.
Right.
But we give them enough mobility with that furniture to be able to move things around and make their space.
Cool. Very cool. And you mentioned a couple of things when I first asked you about the building, and one was that there's a kitchen in the building that is available, I think, almost all the time, right? If I want to get up at midnight and make a snack, I can go down and, not me, because I'm not going to be
You're not going to live there, so probably we wouldn't let you come in
Not me, right. But if someone lived there, they could come down and make a snack, right, or whatever.
Yeah. It has an oven. It has a stove, a microwave. Refrigerator has a great ice machine so students can fill up their drinks as they're walking out of campus. So yeah, they can use it whenever they want. It'll be open and available for them. We will have some items at the front desk that they can check out during time. So, you know, not everybody's going to have their own skillet and baking pans and stuff. So we'll have some that, that the residents can check out at the front desk to use and then clean up afterwards. But it should give them a nice option. And hopefully if they don't know how to cook, then some of our staff can help them learn some things.
Right. And that brings up staff. So you will have staff. There'll be someone living actually in the building, right?
Yeah.
As staff.
Yes. So we hired our residence life coordinator. That's Devin Anderson. And he moved in May. He's a master's level individual professional staff member, and he's done this before. So he will live there and work there and set kind of the community for our students. And then we're going to have five RAs. And RAs are resident assistants that are current SJC students. And their role is really to help the students, the other residents transition, help them make them feel comfortable, handle any issues that come up. You know, when you're talking about a residence hall, so many things happen during the course of the year. Loneliness, depression, fun stuff, you know, relationships building, academic stuff. And so the RAs are there to help them navigate through that. And really maximize their experience at San Juan College.
Nice, nice. Well, and even just, you know, anytime you have 150 people living in fairly close proximity, I don't even know, well, probably have some, maybe some apartment complexes in town that, that have that numbers, but that's pretty rare in in our community, I would say.
Yeah, and it's going to be a microcosm of the rest of the community. So, you know, a lot of people maybe haven't lived with other people before in that close proximity. So our staff will help them navigate that. So we'll learn some communication. We'll learn some conflict management. You know, it's about creating a community and identifying the shared values of that community so that we can all thrive and we can all be have a positive experience.
Right. I want to ask you more about that, too, of the educational outcomes for students here at San Juan College. My guest this morning is Debbie Chalmers. She is the Dean of Students here at San Juan College, getting ready to open the college's first residence hall. And I know there are plans for maybe more. We'll see how it goes, right?
Absolutely.
But it's very exciting. Again, they've been talking about having housing on campus for decades, and here we are. And the open house will be later on this week, which we'll tell you about, too, coming up in just a moment. But, you know, for students who, and I've had them in some of my classes when I teach, and they've been driving in from places like Tohatchee or Kayenta. I mean, hour-plus drives just to get to class. I mean, that's got to be a big change if you can, as you said, roll out of bed and roll down the hill and show up at your 8:30 class ready to go. I mean, that's really a big difference for folks that had to plan a trip and pay for gasoline and car repairs and all this stuff. Big change.
Absolutely. We really hope that this gives those students an opportunity to really invest in their academics, invest in the college experience. We do have students that are coming from Utah, from Arizona, from Colorado, and will be living with us, which is very exciting. And you're right, they don't have to worry about gas. They don't have to worry about how are they going to get to class. You know, it's literally 2 or 3 minutes away from them now, and they have a safe place to sleep and a safe place to learn and work together and hopefully really build relationships. You know, some of my best relationships come from the college experience and living on campus and working in housing at the different institutions. So I really think this is going to be a great opportunity for our students, a great experience for them. There will be challenges, but we're prepared for all of those.
Right, right. Very true. And you mentioned that a lot of things are kind of built in, if you, if I'm remembering correctly, the laundry facilities and things like that. I imagine there's a meal plan for students to know that they're going to be able to, they can prepay, I think, and maybe have access to Mary's Kitchen to get 3 squares a day or whatever they want. If they want Doritos at 12 in the midnight, they can get it.
Maybe Doritos not at midnight might be an option, but yes, but on the vending machine probably.
Right,
yes.
Right.
So so students are required to have a meal plan on campus, and that's really so that we make sure that our students have the ability to eat. We know that food insecurity is a large thing in our community here as well as nationwide, and so with a meal plan, they can either choose from a 10, a 15, or a 19 meal plan, and the way that works is you get that number of meals per week. And you can swipe it any, we card swipes.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Right.
And you can swipe for any time.
Yeah.
And so Mary's Kitchen will be open. They've done a great job in preparing for this change in their process. So breakfast, lunch, and dinner. I think also our food service provider is going to open back up Cafe Belay, which is going to be over in the HHPC. So, you know, HHPC and housing are right next to each other. It's a great opportunity if students don't want to go all the way down, or maybe they're working out of the HHPC. They can go to Cafe Belay and do a card swipe there and get a meal that it will sustain them. So, yeah, I think there's great opportunity. And as I said, you know, our staff at the campus has been very helpful. They're very flexible. They know that we don't know everything that's coming, and so we've built a lot of good partnerships, and people are just ready to meet the needs of our students.
Right. Very cool. And I know part of the other thing too has been probably public safety.
Absolutely.
Things to maybe make sure that we have a presence here even more so. I know we've always had a 24/7 presence on campus, but maybe even more so with housing open.
Yeah, so it'll change a little bit for them. It'll change a bit for our facilities team. You know, usually right now at 3 o'clock in the morning on our campus, maybe there's some cats and some raccoons, but now we're going to have 150 students and there will things happen. So, you know, we've worked with them, with our DPS, and looked at some options. We're building some protocol. We want to make sure obviously that our students are safe, that they have the resources they need. And I think we're prepared to do that.
Right. Very cool. I've also heard talk about maybe a health center at some point. Is that some conversations that are ongoing?
That is ongoing. Okay. So that has been, we submitted to the federal government and the state government, I believe, have both allocated funds. So we're in the process of designing and placing a student health center on campus, which is going to be great for our students. It'll be both a physical health center as well as a mental health center, and put all of our wellness areas together. We know that when you have students on campus and students in our community, like, these are great needs, and not everybody can easily access, you know, a doctor or a therapist, and so we have that on our campus soon, so that our students can utilize that and make sure their wellness is taken care of. And until that happens, we do have counseling on staff right now. So good. Students who need mental health support, We have staff that are available to take care of that and meet those needs.
Very good. Good to hear. And I know there are so many resources for students that we have already on campus, for all students, whether they're commuters or they're going to be living on campus.
Absolutely.
From Veteran Services to the Herencia Center and the Native American Center, and just the list goes on, I know. And so all those things are going to be accessible to both the current population and also the residential housing population.
Absolutely. Yeah. So some of the best things that we have on our campus, and when I've talked to other people at other campuses and my own experiences, we have a tremendous number of resources for our students, and I think we do a really great job of meeting our students where they're at, you know, from free tutoring to our food pantry to the Herencia Latina Center to the Native American Center, our Veteran Center, our TRIO programs. You know, our students have a lot of resources available. And I think many of us on campus do a good job of reaching out to our students, our faculty, our staff, and saying, hey, you don't have to go through this alone. There are people that can help you. There are people that want to help you. And really, we just need to get them connected. And so we do that through a variety of avenues. Housing will also be involved in getting them connected. I think with housing, they're going to see people 24/7. You know, it's no longer just a few hours on campus and they go home and they face their problems and their happiness is alone. We get to see all that now. We get to see the entirety of the student. And so it's important that we help them get connected across campus, and it'll be great.
Right. Well, and as you mentioned, a lot of lifelong relationships start maybe in that kind of on-campus housing situation, just because you're around these people and
you get
to know them and you become friends with them and maybe you study together. I mean, you've got a built-in study group, I think, for many of these things. And so that really works out, I think, well, especially if you're worried about tests or exams or concepts that you're not understanding. Maybe somebody down the hall is going through the same thing.
Absolutely. And I think that's one of the great things about housing that people don't always think about is, you know, you're going through something, you feel like you're alone, but in reality, the person across the hall, the person in your room, the person upstairs, they're going through the same thing. And that really adds a level of comfort to you and allows you to kind of persevere if you know that you're not alone, that someone else is going through it. And I think that's going to be a great experience for our students. There's going to be a lot of commonality. There's going to be a lot of diversity there, and that's going to be exciting. You know, we have a great population on our campus of people from all different backgrounds and ideas and thoughts, and when you get to see all those individuals work together, it's just beautiful.
Right, very true. Again, Dean Chalmers is my guest this morning. We are talking about the new residential housing here at San Juan College. The grand opening is coming up later on this week. And I'm showing the picture again of kind of the front entrance of the building just because there's a sculpture there, but I know the sculpture we have is much different. And I wanted to ask you a bit about that beautiful sculpture. I wish I had a picture of it, but I don't, which means you have to come and see it in person, everybody.
Absolutely.
But it was just installed not too long ago, I don't think. I noticed it just the other day, and I was like, oh, wow. That's really cool. And can you tell us a little bit about it?
I can tell you a little bit about it.
Okay.
So Don Ellis, one of our faculty members, my understanding is he's the one that created that. Our welding department donated some of the materials for it. It is beautiful. It's my understanding it's the backside of Shiprock, and it's a great water feature. You won't know it until you go up on it, but there's water that flows out of it. And back into the ground, and it's beautiful. I think it's going to be a very iconic piece for our campus. Students are going to love it, you know. And Don and his team have done some amazing things to really celebrate the area, celebrate culture, and liven up our residence hall facilities. So there's some cool things there.
Very cool. Well, it's a great, again, another piece of art for the campus, of which we have many, which is wonderful and just really cool. When I saw it, I wanted to ask you about it, and I can't wait. I didn't know about the water feature, so that even makes it even more special, I think.
Yeah, you can't tell until you get right up on it, but you hear it, and you hear that water, the water trickling, and it's beautiful.
Very, very cool. So what's next, I guess? It's move-in time, right, is coming, and getting everybody settled and ready to go, and then dealing with whatever you have to deal with, I guess, once things get up and running, right? You can plan, but you never really plan for everything, I'm sure.
Yes, you plan for the worst and hope for the best.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, the RAs are going to be reporting for work this weekend, and they'll start training on Monday. And so they'll be able to have several weeks of getting ready for the students to arrive. Opening day for student move-in is August 20th at 9 a.m. So that's when students will be able to come in, get their keys, and start moving their stuff in. And then we'll have lots of volunteers that are there to help them. Moving into residence hall is not an easy feature, and so we'll have many of our faculty and staff that have volunteered to help. So they'll be there wearing t-shirts, moving the students in, and then that night we have the block party, which will be over in Graduation Plaza that our student engagement and campus life team have created, and that's going to be a wonderful time, so everybody should come out to that. That is open to the public. It is open to all of our students. It is not just a first-year experience or just our housing people, but everybody should come by and enjoy that.
Community included, right?
Community included,
it's a big
yes.
party for everybody, so.
Yes, we're a community college. We love the community, so.
Right, wonderful. Well, and that's going to start. And again, everything gets going, I think, this weekend with the ribbon cutting and the grand opening ceremony, which is planned for Friday, August 12th, radio audience. I'll read it off the screen for you. 3:30 to 5 p.m. here at the new student housing building on the San Juan College campus. And I think, is there a name for the building? Is that still being thought about, talked about?
Or the name is done.
Yes,
and I need to process how to say it exactly. I've had many of our Navajo friends try and teach me how to say it.
Okay.
It's Nujune Sunrise Suites.
Nice.
And my understanding from our Navajo friends is that Nujune means beautiful.
Right.
So it's the beautiful Sunrise Suites, and we love that we were able to include Navajo language in the naming of that with the blessing of our Navajo nation. So
no kidding. Very yeah. That's beautiful. It's a nice name, and it fits.
I think it does.
It definitely fits.
Right.
And there are, as I mentioned, there are plans for maybe phase two, and I know that's above both of our pay grades to decide if we're going to do that or not. But there is room to build another, maybe building, maybe mirror the same one, or that's kind of the idea.
Yeah, absolutely.
If there's demand and
yeah,
and it works.
We're going to see how this works, and then there's a phase two already being planned. We know where it would go. And the next step is just see how we operate and what's going on and what our students like. You know, every community is different, and so every residence hall needs to be different to meet the needs of that community. So, you know, this is our first attempt. We'll see what's good. We'll see what challenges we have and proceed with the next round.
Okay, excellent. The other thing I wanted to ask you about, too, is I know it certainly makes sense how you would fill it in the fall and the spring for the semesters, but summer is maybe a little different story. Are there plans for maybe... some students can maybe stay there if they're taking summer classes, but would there be other things that you might want to do for maybe some training opportunities or bringing people in I don't know. What do you use a student housing facility for over the summer when you don't have a lot of classes?
Well, so several things.
Right.
Number one, we want to make sure that we have, we have enough time to turn those rooms around for the fall.
Right.
And sometimes that takes, residence halls can take a little bit of a beating, so we want to make sure we have time for that. The other thing is we do have the Tree Upward Bound grants, and those grants do have a live-in component over the summer, so those students would be on our campus living in the residence hall and taking classes. I know we have some other partners that are looking for some spaces that we would do over the summer. So in the housing world, we call those camps and conferences.
Okay.
And so
but there are opportunities, though.
There are opportunities, that we'll work with groups about. And then, yes, if there are students that are taking full-time enrollment over the summer, we would be able to have space for them to stay there as well.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
So you've already thought about it.
I
figured you had.
I've thought about it, where we're at in terms of implementing it.
Right.
We'll get there, but yeah.
Very cool.
Yeah,
well,
yeah.
It's very exciting. And for those of us that have been in campus for a while, it's, like I said, they've been talking about it forever and ever, and I know they studied it to death, and they got the results back from some of these feasibility studies that said, yes, build it already, and obviously to make the money work, which again is another conversation, it's all happened, it's all come together, and we see the fruits of the labor of a lot of people that came before us, so it's exciting to see.
Absolutely. History tells a good story, and now we get the benefit of seeing it in action, so that's going to be great, and we'll get to see the first group of students to move in and be residents.
Very exciting. Certainly some trailblazers, I think, will be coming on campus on the 20th. So
absolutely.
Great. Well, we'll see you on the 12th for the ribbon cutting.
Yes, I will be there, and hopefully we'll see everybody on the 20th as well.
Okay. Very good. Thanks for coming in this morning.
You're welcome. Thanks, Scott. Have a good day.
You too. Thank you very much. That's Deborah Chalmers, the Dean of Students at San Juan College, my guest here on KSJE. KSJE is proud to support the San Juan Medical Foundation's 42nd annual Walkathon, Saturday, September 17th. The Walkathon is the foundation's premier annual event, the fundraising effort that supports the Connolly Hospitality House and the San Juan Medical Foundation's mission of enhancing the health and well-being of people in the Four Corners community. Register to walk, sponsor a walker, or make a donation at sanjuanmedicalfoundation.com. Did you enjoy that podcast? We hope that you did. And if you did, share it with your friends. And if you really want to keep podcasts like this coming, please support KSJE. You can do it easily online at ksje.com.